Okay. Let's do some prayer. Have a prayer request for this morning.
Pray for the Duff family and the loss of Kristen. She went to be with the Lord this past week. Pray for Faye Barnes as she recuperates from her procedure. That lady you met that was going through that hard time at the hospital.
Yeah, I told her that my church is praying for her, and she really appreciated it. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, dear God. Thank you for the privilege and honor to be here and to teach. I don't take this lightly, Lord. I consider it a great honor, Lord, and I thank you for the creed that allowed me to do this. I pray for the Duff family who have lost a loved one going on to the Lord, and also the Faye Barnes. I also have a coworker, Lord, that's helped me to be the light to my department. Lord, whenever questions comes up that you just fill me the Holy Spirit, to give them the proper answer. It's a young lady married for 20 years, Lord, and the husband decided that she's done with her. Give her grace to deal with that situation. Be with us, Lord, here this morning as we teach about the family. In Jesus' holy precious name we pray, amen. Amen. Any announcement, Brother Creed?
Beast Feast this coming Saturday evening at 4. Invite some guys to come. We'll have some meat to eat and good fellowship. Couple competitions.
Amen.
All right. Easter next week. We'll start at 7. 7 in the morning. We'll have service. We'll have breakfast. And then we'll have another service. And then we'll be open for the day for Easter. So be here for that.
James chapter 2, verse 15. Talking about the family. The family's under attack. Why did God say it was not good for man? James chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day you eat it thereof, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Okay? The word helpmeet right there, meat for him, he said, is the word meat in the Hebrew text means a helper. Okay? And also a suitable or proper fitting. Mm-hmm. Okay, meat means suitable or proper fitting, in case some of us didn't know. I didn't know that. I have to really study into it. Okay? Now, you notice that he put a woman, okay? The Lord sees that a woman is more proper and more fitting for the man. Okay? Today, we're trying to change, the liberals are trying to change that, where a woman goes with a man, and that's fitting and proper and suitable for the man. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whosoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Adam did not see any animal that he found suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God was taken from Adam was made he a woman and brought her unto him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. This is the first establishment of the family. If you notice, the Lord took a rib from Adam. It did not go and form Eve from the dust of the ground just like it's formed Adam. There's a reason for that. If he didn't form Eve out of the dust of the ground instead of taking a rib from Adam, it's like when he took what he was doing, basically taking a part of Adam from the get-go and formed a woman for Adam. By the way, I did an investigation on this. How is it that you do or take a rib from Adam? Okay? There's a certain part of the human rib that will grow back when it's removed. So Adam was not walking around with one less rib. After a while, the Lord allowed it to grow back. Even to this very day, if a surgeon, he's doing cosmetic surgery, some kind of reconstruction surgery, he look for some parts, especially the rib, take it out and form another bone, especially if they're doing redoing your jawbone. Okay? Now, what the Lord is teaching us from the get-go, that when he takes a woman, he did not take Adam, Eve and brought it to Adam, right? That will be wrong. God was adoring sin right there. What he was doing is making sure that was the first marriage was taking place. So when a man marry a woman, she immediately and that woman became flesh and blood together. They become one unit. Okay? God frowned on the violation of the marriage compact, the marriage contract.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
So what was happening right there is God is showing us that when a man marry a woman, they become one unit. Okay? That's why Adam right there said that you are bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. My wife and I, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She is my wife. And we are one.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I'm going to show you something the Lord showed me a long time ago. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That cleave right there is in attachment to her in intimacy. Okay? And what he said right here, and they were both naked, and the man and the wife were not ashamed. Interestingly, a woman cannot disrobe, just go around and disrobe like that. You know why? God put in her to be a sense of modesty.
Right.
Okay? Well, now when they're married and they're together, she's showing that her body now belongs to her husband and her husband belongs to her. Yep. Let me show you something, if Brother Fruit allow me to do it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter, unless it's in here. Of course, it's in the Bible. I'm not thinking. Chapter 6.
1 Corinthians 6.
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it said, "What know ye not that ye which is joined to a harlot is one body?" What he's trying to say right here, when you go in intimacy with a prostitute, you do become one with her. Mm. Okay? In Genesis chapter in 2, when he said when right here, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." He's talking about intimacy. They get married, they cleave unto her. In intimacy, they become one flesh. Okay? When God created Eve, notice, he took the rib from Adam to form her. What God has shown to her, to Adam, you're not one from the get-go.
Amen.
That's the creation of the family right here. Okay? And he said that they were both naked, and the man and the wife were not ashamed. Okay? They were not to be ashamed about they're not committing sin.
Right.
God ordained that.
Amen.
Okay? Let's move on. In this part, God says one is to be from and he was and this part, God said woman is to be a helpmate for the man. This means that she complements and completes her husband. She is his counterpart. Okay? Right in the blank. Be a helpmate for the man. In marriage, what does the couple becomes? I already just went over it. Becomes one flesh. Okay? According to Genesis 3:16, in marriage, where is it to be the woman's desire?
Her husband.
She's supposed to have a desire only for her husband. Okay? Mm. Good. Okay, we'll read, look up Matthew 19, verses 4 to 6. Matthew chapter 19, 4 to 6.
And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you know what a lot of Christians are having problems with? That, read again, that's verses 4 to 6. And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that which was made them at the beginning, made them male and female? Matter of fact, I get to an argument at work about that. Because the debate about the sodomite marriage. Made them male and female. Okay? And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and twain shall be one flesh. There is right here is the same thing that you saw when it was looked at in Genesis from chapter 24 to 25. Therefore, there are no more twain but one flesh. Therefore, God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. Okay? God frowns. Right away, I'm thinking about a young lady that after 20 years of marriage, the husband wake up one morning and decided that he wants a divorce. And I think it's the most disgusting thing. My wife dealt with that before. After 25, this lady she met at the workplace, married for 25 years, raised two boys. The boys goes off to college. She never worked since she was married. And now she has to go and work overnight at I think it was Walmart. She has no experience, of 25 years experience, no work experience at all.
That's crazy.
Yeah, okay? That's evil.
It's happening all the time.
Yep.
It happens all the time. It's happening with people that get in their retirement age. People just... Say, I'm going to retire from YouTube.
Yep.
I mean, it's happening all over. It's not a commitment to God, to people.
Marriage is to be permanent, one man, one woman, one lifetime. No divorce. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man Amen. Put asunder.
Amen.
Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Who got that?
I got it.
Okey-dokey.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while the husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man.
And that's another thing that Christians are having problems with. If a woman is divorced, I mean, she can't be going. You can't go marry her. And I ran into that recently, and the guy got upset at me. I said, "Okay, she's divorced." And the guy's still running around. You can't go marry her. Argument. But it's biblical.
Amen.
Look up Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4. Hebrews chapter 13. There, you got that for me, please?
Okay. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
Right.
Amen.
I love this verse.
Okay, what is talking about right here is undefiled.
Marriage is undefiled. The bed's undefiled.
Amen.
If physical relationship between the man and the woman.
Amen.
After they're married.
What? I'm real clear. I was supposed to win over also the husband gives you the wife?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
You know, let's get convicted.
Okay, go Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, I got that. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Even though I know it from the top of my head, but I like reading it.
Amen.
But a pre-talking a long time ago, he said, I was good, open the Bible and show them. That's what memorize the scripture. Once again, this one shall not leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and he shall be one flesh. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25. Who got that one?
Ephesians 5, 25?
Yep.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Actually, if you look at marriage, it's basically a picture of the Lord and the relationship with the church.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I have to be careful how I treat my wife. When it says I must love my wife, it's not just a statement or a feeling. It's also a duty. I have to demonstrate the fact that I love my wife. I mean, even if I save a few dollars up to go buy another shotgun, I keep on going by the store. I mean, she needs something, that money got to go.
Confession time.
Okay? There are times when I have a box inside the house, I just put everything paid, I put a couple hundred dollars in there. That's for me. Okay? And of course, I take care of my wife. But there are times like, honey, I need money. I said, okay, look in that box. Well, to help yourself.
Empty box.
So at that point is we need to pray for Gemma.
Okay, I take care of her, but let me tell you something. I choke up when I see the way my wife treats the kids, the grandkids. I treat the boys. I take good care of her. And also, too, one of the things we're supposed to show love with wife is to pray for her.
Amen.
Pray for her safety. Pray for her health. Okay?
Yep.
And I reward her the way I see that she treat even the grandkids. Every year, Brother McQueen, I save some money up just for her and take her Christmas shopping. Hey, and we got to take care of our wives. And the next thing too, remember we're going to touch on that. If you want the Lord to answer a prayer, you got to take care of your wife. I find out that if I get mad at her and get impatient and carry on, I go to work, Brother Creed, and the rest of the week at work until I go to the Lord and take care of that. I have problems at work. Before I leave the house, I tell her I'm sorry, go to the Lord, ask forgiveness before I leave the house. Because if I don't, once I get to work, things can't work, the machine can't work, I have the meanest, nastiest patient, the doctors are impatient, and the world is turned upside down when I get to work.
That's amazing.
Yep. But I don't tell her that, though.
she probably calls the people worse. So
Okay, here it goes again. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
Okay, good. What is that talking about right there?
Taking care of her?
No. Go back to Genesis again. Wherefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto her, became one flesh. There's an emphasis right here that you are one flesh. If you love your wife, you love your own body. Okay? Chapter 5, 25, read it again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Okay? The marriage is a picture between the relationship between the Lord and us. Okay? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay. 5:28. Go back to it. So, men to love their wife even as their own bodies.
Amen.
Okay. You love your wife, you love your own body. Remember, Adam was taken out. Eve was taken out of Adam. There is a picture of marriage relationship. When you get married, you become bones of your bones and flesh of your flesh. Your wife. That's why right here he emphasized that. If you love your wife, you love also your own bodies. Amen. You got to love his wife, love himself.
Amen.
Why? Because we're one. Amen. You take care of your wife. That means you love yourself.
Amen.
Okay? He is to provide for his wife. We got that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 8.
But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Exactly. I don't need to say that to these gentlemen in here. That first thing a man's supposed to be doing is work and take care of his wife and kids. Okay? You see a lot of that happening today where you see a man, a lady out there with kids, and they're not married. As a matter of fact, when I got out of the Marine Corps back in 91, I saw it close up. There was a young lady, five kids, five different men.
That's crazy.
Okay? I'm not trying to go to rabbit shit, but that's a problem in our country. Okay? A man, when he gets married, is supposed to have a job and take care of his family. Matter of fact, the Sunday school teacher is supposed to be telling young ladies, before you marry a young man, make sure he's saved. Okay? And has a job, has a career, has something going on. Because
he's
not a bum. Okay? That's supposed to happen. Okay? Matter of fact, there was a Jewish terminology, a Jewish proverb said, a man that doesn't teach his son a trade, he's teaching him to be a beggar. A man that goes out there to learn something, to make a living, so he can take care of his family. That's what's supposed to not have his kids begging. Okay, not leave his wife in rags.
It's the one thing I have to remind myself that I should not feel bad when I ask the question. But you do feel bad, but you shouldn't, because it's not on you. But you meet people all the time, even at church, and they got all these different brothers. This is my stepbrother, and this is my stepsister. Yeah. You know, they got, and finally you find out, and that, you know, five different children with five different husbands is in our metro area. It's
pretty common. Yeah.
You hear it all the time.
Yeah. I was shocked.
You hear it all the time, and
it's almost as if you're not, you're the abnormal one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten that.
And then you ask their names, and they all have different names, and you're looking confused at them, like you should be confused. And I stop feeling bad about it. You know, some people look at you like, you don't understand this. No, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised Bible way.
Yeah, my coworker told me he's in an open relationship, serious as a heart attack.
Well, that's
my coworker.
That's normal too. That's normal too.
It was hard for me to contain my face.
He's like, mm-hmm. No, I'm not joking with you. We need some spice in our life.
I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll get it sooner or later.
First
okay, carry on.
First Peter chapter 3, verses 7. I'll read it. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of the life, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay, that's what I just mentioned earlier. That husband, dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, even as unto the weaker vessel. Okay, I actually don't. I don't want to call my wife weak, because my wife is pretty strong.
She picked you up.
Yeah, I'm not talking bad with her physically. I'm talking in a spiritual sense. Okay, what is this talking about? But there are times when I seems like, okay, I'm overwhelmed here. What am I supposed to do? And my wife gets upset at me sometimes, Brother Creed. I said, instead of getting mad, why don't you pray? And she really helped me out with that a lot.
Amen.
And I'd have to listen to her and just stop and start praying. But also by talking about showing respect to your wife. One of the things I learned also, that my sons become decent husbands to their wives, is to be careful how I treat her and talk to her in front of them. I really have to. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I have to. So that's because the way boys behave to their wife, to their future wives, is what they see at home. And they have to emphasize that. Because I don't want my There is a young lady, you know, of course you know about Mary, but I'm thinking about the family that is raising a decent young lady for my sons. I want them to be looked at as decent young men to be married, even before they get married. Okay? And once again, talk about the prayers not to be hindered. I mean, I've seen it so many times, even in among church members. I'm not going to say no names, not call nobody, but where there's complete show disrespect to their wives out in the parking lot, right, in front of everybody. And that's not right. And that person is going to be miserable because God's not going to answer that kind of prayer.
Amen.
Whenever I pray, he prays. Hey, and even with other Christians, when I go in my prayer closet to the Lord and kneel down, I feel like an emptiness. Said, okay, Lord. And then the Lord reminds me right away how I talk to somebody. Even if the way I talk to my wife, get that taken care of with the Lord before I can go any further in my prayer with the Lord.
You know, a lot of people call their wife the old lady. And
no, I don't call her the old lady.
Stuff like that. I just never, my dad never did that.
Amen.
And that weaker vessel has the thought of, you're the leader. The husband's the leader. You're going to answer to everything. You're her protector. You're her leader. You're her guide. Doesn't mean you don't get it. I mean, doesn't mean your wife is not your partner, doesn't give you information. Women see things we never see.
Exactly. I do believe that every wife should feel safe and comfortable in a home with her husband.
Amen.
Okay, and she should be aware that anything trespass against her, the husband going to answer that individual.
Right.
There are several times I have to call someone. Matter of fact, one time I had to make a phone call because my wife came home frightened, saying that girl was trying to beat her up after work. And I became silent for about an hour because I'm thinking, how do I handle this? And I was going to go wait for her in the parking lot with my gun. But I said,
not the way to do it.
That's my spontaneous reaction. Yeah. But I have to pray about it first. I knew the nurse, the manager of the department, and I called him up. And I said, hey, you remember me? He said, yeah, what's up? I said, there's a young lady that you work with. And this is what she'd be saying to my wife. One more complaint from my wife, I'm going to play that place a visit. That's all I said and hang up. My wife said she went into that room, came back out, and up to until now, that lady haven't talked to my wife yet. You're supposed to take care of your wife. You're supposed to protect your wife. That's what a man's supposed to do, a husband.
By the way, also, you don't let people disrespect your wife in public.
No.
With their mouth. Mm-hmm. I was in a former church down in Virginia, and a guy, a deacon, grabbed my wife's arm, and I said, let's go to the parking lot.
He put his wife...
I said, I'm going to clean the parking lot up with you.
He put his hand on your wife.
And he started whining like a little baby because the first time he'd seen a man stand up to him. And I can't believe a pastor would say that. I said, I'm not speaking as a pastor. I'm speaking as a husband. And so, but you don't have to get violent with people. But you stand up for your wife. If your kids direct and disrespect your wife in public, you don't make it a spectacle, but you need to make sure that you correct them properly.
Amen, brother.
There's a lot of guys, people walk in, you know, people walk off the street, sinners, and they need to learn that number one, it gives your wife a confidence in you. Number two, it lets them know, don't mess with my wife. I lose my blessing when people mess with my family. Mm-hmm. And I lose my blessing when people mess with my church family. Those two things, I get real carnal with that as a preacher. But your wife is, now my wife, I married up. And my wife has done so much for me and my kids. And I'm so fortunate to have a wife and a family. For all these years,
Daddy. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter.
Oh, so Derek wants to say something.
Okay, Derek, go ahead.
But what Pastor Creek was saying, that he gets mad when people mess with his church family, You know, God is that way when people mess with us. Remember every time when people kept messing with mom, they end up dying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she didn't pray for that. It's just God got offended by it.
Yeah. I have so much to tell about that. We'll move on, but that's an interesting point. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5, I read that. Defraud ye not one another, except be it with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and to come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. That word incontinency is inability to contain or restrain oneself. Okay.
Self-control.
Exactly. Now, if you're talking about intimacy, that you're withholding intimacy from your wife or the wife doing the same. I've seen, matter of fact, there are people at work that complain to me about that. I'm not, they probably think I'm Dr. Phil or something. And first of all, a lot of those people are saved, so you know, there's no God in the home. But among Christians, I've had someone come to me and complain about that. And I said, they just have to go to the Lord in prayer about that. But I heard one pastor say that a wife that is withholding intimacy from her husband is like witchcraft.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah. For that to happen, I don't know what goes on in the home, but he talked about withholding intimacy from one each other. That's defrauding one another. And there's a problem there.
He's going to get somewhere, she's going to get somewhere. That's the way God made us. I had some preacher tell me something about, well, you know, that stuff doesn't affect me. I said, well, then get away from me. I mean,
they're not normal.
Not normal.
Ephesians chapter 5:23. We got Ephesians chapter 5:23. Let me see if you can find it. It used to be the what of the house?
The head of the house.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
When I first got married and I read that, it jumps out at me. When I got married, especially when after we started having children, I lived in the Bible. And I highlighted this with everything. This is one I highlighted that I am the head of the home. Is that just means that I am some caveman,
tyrant,
you know, Captain Caveman, treating my family. It means that when I stand before the Lord, Walter, what's the deal with your wife and your kids? What's going on here? I have to watch out for my family. I'm going to have to answer the Lord for all my kids are brought up, and how I treat my wife. Okay, the husband is the head of the family, and too many men are absent from their home, even when they're in their house. Okay, that the wife. There is no reason. Okay, let's say you have daughters, right? And I've seen it where the husband have no control of the family, what they do. And you see a young lady get abused by a boyfriend, or the wife get disrespected, and the wife has to be the one to stand up to what's going on with the family because the husband is absent. I've seen that. A young man should be scared to mess with someone's daughter. Okay, and I've seen where my wife one time came on a trip, and they were trying to keep this young man away from their daughter because, first of all, they don't think he was saved, and he was like a former member of MS-13, and he was trying to keep the daughter away from
that element, right?
Yeah, and in front of the daughter, the wife, the boy confronted the daddy. And the dad just stood there. And I didn't go to the altar. My wife came back very mad. Her eyes were... She said, if that was me, I would have choked that boy. I said, what happened? He told him to keep away from his daughter. The wife wants the husband to stand up for her. And all he did was stood there. He's supposed to be the head of the home. He's supposed to be safe. A wife supposed to a kid supposed to be safe at home. And he was supposed to establish leadership at home.
You have to answer for everything that happens in your house.
Yep.
Through my years of pastoring, I've had people that get indignant when I get involved in all the inner workings of the church as a pastor. But I tell people I don't want to. I'm not trying to micromanage, but I have to because God's going to hold me accountable for everything that happens in church. You have a chief, don't you? If something happens in your department, he answers for it. Everything. You know, he can't say, "Well, I didn't know about it." Then they say, "Well, you know, we get another chief." And that's the way it is with the home. We're responsible. And he's talking about absentee. You know, my wife, when I was working, I'd come home, everything's in order. And we got down to the years when I was, you know, the kids were leaving the house. And I said, "Yeah, thank God I never had to spank these kids. We never had to spank these kids." She said, "Yeah, we did." She did. And so, you know, there's things you as a husband have to answer for. You're gonna answer for everything that happens in your home. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, here comes the wife beating up mom. Ephesians chapter 5:22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Okay, there are no wives inside your home. But wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Okay, but the wives are not here, so we jump over that. The wife's supposed to...
We're not getting into that right now, are we? Is that part of it? That's next week, right?
Yeah, I mean, the back of this.
Oh, it's not the back? What time we got? What time is it?
It is almost a quarter till.
Okay.
Wanna wrap it up?
Let's hit it hard.
Hit it hard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quickly.
Okay. He is reverence.
Spots we can review next week, but go ahead and hit the last spots, brother.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, she is to reverence her husband. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me tell you something. If you run across it, you know, sometimes I don't know why the Lord let me see these things, which I didn't want to see. I've seen at church where, this is a couple of wives, and these are wives who are supposed to be called them. They act like these women walk on water, they're more holy than anybody else. But when nobody's looking, the way they treat their husbands, I couldn't handle that. I mean, degrading them. And these are good men. Okay? I mean, that's not reverencing your husband. And by the way, these women that I'm talking that's on top of my head that I'm thinking about, the kids did not turn out right. And you wonder why their daughters are the way they are. Because the way they talk to their husbands. Okay? Someone once told me, he said, if you're looking at another young lady, first take a look at the wives and see how they behave. And someone said, so is the wife his, so is the daughter. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5:14.
1 Timothy 5:14?
Yep.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned.
Amen.
She's a guide at home. But what 5:14
says.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. First Peter 3:1.
I went away. I got to tell you this testimony.
Okay.
So I went away. My wife, her knees hurt. Y'all know she had a knee. She had a cortisone shot. Well, she called me. I talked to her when we were got down there. Friday. And it was hurting her. She couldn't hardly get around. And so I guess she got some medicine or anything, but when I came home, she had compartmentalized all these different things in the house. Went through the bathroom, compartmentalized all my stuff, and she keeps an order. Even though Pam works from home with the Census Bureau, she keeps an order of stuff. You know how we come in.
My wife's dead. I went away on a hunting trip one time. My wife reorganized my shop. It took me 2 years to find everything.
That happened to me yesterday. I came home like, "Where's up? What'd you do?" "Oh, I cleaned up." I'm like, "Yes, honey. Where we said."
She went out and bought me. I've been looking for a thing. She knows I've been looking for a thing to put my ties in instead of. I don't like these tie racks, so I've been looking for something that I can put the tie in to roll it up. You can roll them up and everything. And she found me two of those things. Perfect work. So she's been guiding me at home. You know?
Likewise, ye wise, the First Peter 3, verses 1. Likewise, ye wise, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives.
Mm.
This is a good one right here.
Mm, yeah, it is.
Okay. It's talking about how the wife's supposed to behave when she got saved towards her husband. Okay? Don't wish you're going to win him to the Lord. It's the way she, as a Christian woman, treats her husband.
Amen.
Okay? And I've seen that happen. I've seen wives, one day, you see the husband walk in, get saved. Matter of fact,
yes,
there's a missionary right now. I think he's a missionary in Mexico. No, it was Roberta Pease. His wife and kids start going to church. And the way the wife treats him and the daughters are coming up, "Daddy, come to church." And he didn't want nothing to do with it. First day, decided to stop going to church. Went forward and get saved. All because of the way the wives, his wife and his daughter was treating him at home.
Wow.
Yep. But if the husband does not see a change in the wife, he doesn't want anything. He's not going to want to come to the Lord. It might prevent him from coming to the Lord.
Right.
Okay, where are we now? Proverbs 25:15. It's a long lesson, Brother Creed.
It is. Why let you teach it?
By a long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. By long forbearing, forbearing is means self-restraint. Okay? In other words, in our language, putting up with the nonsense. Is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bones. We have to be able to answer someone in a soft manner, and that's something I've worked on for years, also give an answer. And I have to pray about how basically I give an answer to everything. At work now, that taught me how to give an answer, because people are asking questions. A lady one day asked me, "What's the difference between being a Catholic and a Baptist?" And she was very Catholic. First Corinthians 7 verses 4-5. You can go over that.
You want to read it?
Go ahead, but I think we already covered that part already anyway. Okay. It's like a repeat.
Okay. Wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband likewise also. Husband hath not power of his own body. Defraud you not, except you be consent. It be with consent for a time, that you give, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer together, and Satan tempt you for your incontinency.
That part right there is Satan tempt you. Now, if a man and the wife are intimate at home, the temptation is going to be outside. God built men to want to have sex. In marriage. That's what we're built. But you have to be careful what you look at. Now it's getting warm. The women are going to come out naked. Yeah. And I could never understand even for job interviews. They come for a job interview. I mean, I don't understand that how they dress to go to a job interview.
Yeah.
Okay. And next thing too, there's a high school down the street from where I work. I can never understood. Once again, a man's supposed to be leader at the home. How do you have your daughter leave the house looking like that?
Yeah.
Especially with these predators nowadays. Okay.
Well, they don't have any say over.
I couldn't even understand. I could never understand that. I mean, a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago, someone attending church. Even the person who never set foot in church, they have an idea of what it's supposed to look like going into church. And I couldn't even understand how some of the bus workers would pick up a young lady looking like she's going to the beach, the way she dresses. At least tell her to put her pants on or something. I come to church in a booty shorts, tank top. A long time ago, no one would go to church looking like that. I want to go to church looking like that. Okay, that's it. Brother Creed, do you have anything to add before we get up?
No. What time is it?
It is now... It's now 1 o'clock.
It is?
Yep. Okay, brother. Okay, brother Arnold, we're gonna have to build a fireplace inside that church now.
Well, how is the church heated? What's the meaning by the X?
No, it's
fuel.
Basically, it's hot water and heat. The bottom of the surge tank blew completely off. This is not
Hey, hey Sam. It was good yesterday, man. It was good. It was a blessing. Like I could wear a print, I didn't want to go, but I'm glad I went. Hey, give it to your dad.
Get rid of all that mess.
Thank you.
Thank you.